If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to a familiar passage in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. The 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel, and we commence reading at the 14th verse. And when Jesus came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wherever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answereth him and saith, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." The Lord bless his word to each one of our hearts. This question asked by the disciples have been on my mind for so long. The question, why could not we cast him out? When we look at the state of our nation and people, and we look at what our service within the church has achieved, we can easily despair. And we can ask that question that the disciples asked. Why could not we cast him out? You see, the incident in which this question occurs, it is not only recorded in Mark's Gospel, the portion that we shall look at this morning. But it also in Matthew 17, 14 to 21, and Luke 9, 37 to 45. And we need to read through these three accounts so that the complete picture is seen. Seen of what happened. For it was certainly a very humiliating experience for the disciples, was it not? Crowds of people were following them. And when they were faced with the lunatic boy, they sought to deliver him from his demon possession. But they found that they were completely powerless. Everybody witnessed their confusion and their humiliation. And it was quite natural that after our Lord himself had performed this miracle of restitution and set this boy free, that they should come to him and asked him this pertinent question. Why could we not cast him out? I want us to look more closely at this incident, at the disciples, at the question they asked, and begin with the situation that they faced. It was a dreadful situation indeed. For here was a boy who was a lunatic. That's what we read in Matthew's account. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, and sore vexed. For oft time he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Here was a boy who was possessed with a devil. Matthew 17, 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, we read. And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. An evil spirit, we are told, in Luke's account. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out. And it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. An evil spirit. And Mark's account, of course, is a dumb spirit that we read. And in verse 17. And in verse 25, a foul spirit. Do you get the picture? Despair. Desperate. And the disciple faced this demon-possessed boy. It was common in those days, as it may well be in these days, for people to become possessed. Yes, possessed by evil spirits. And there is a very real sense in which this situation that faced the disciples is the situation that's facing the church today. The king of this world has so many in his grip. Multitudes around us are gripped by sin and controlled by Satan. Well, this is not a very popular doctrine. And it is not universally, visibly accepted. Wherein in time past, we read in Ephesians 2, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Surely this makes it abundantly clear that unregenerate men and women, are living lives under the domination of Satan. Every unsaved person is controlled by a spirit of evil. Just as this boy was controlled by an evil spirit. And the boy's situation was tragic. We have only to compare versions of this story. But this is a picture of the kind of situation that faces the church today. Oh, it's been insidious, isn't it? With craft, the evil one has gained ground on every side. What can be done about it? Well, what did the disciples do about it? For this is the situation that they faced. Now let's look at the failure they experienced. You see, the disciples sought the healing of this boy. But they failed completely and utterly. It was a tragic failure, and the words to notice are underlined in Luke 9:40 are, "They could not." What tragic words. This simply means that they were helpless and they were powerless. This was all the more tragic because the Lord had expressively given these disciples the power. Yes, the power to work miracles. And they had exercised this power most successfully. Matthew 10, if we look at that and verse 1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." And then in verse 8, "Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." And then in Luke 10:17, where we read, "And the 70 returned again with joy." Yes, joy. "Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." What a glorious time that was, when the disciples achieved so much. Or, let us put it the correct way, the Lord had channels to use to extend his kingdom. But now they were powerless. And here again we have a picture of the situation in the church today. Surely. Oh, it's lovely. It is lovely to see the children and how others have gathered together to see the encouragement for our brother and the church here. But that's not always the case, you know, and you know it. Because many of our churches are on the decline. And it seems that we have lost so much of the power that should be ours. All around us, there are needy souls, and we as the Lord's representative, to whom the Lord has given the mighty power of his Holy Spirit, are powerless. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Oh, thank God for the work in China.
that we hear so many are gathering together in other parts of the world. But oh, that our land might know this blessing. We see few conversions and little evidence of the mighty power of God working through the ministry of the word, through the local assemblies of God's people. Oh, in our modern day and age, we have elaborate organizations, we have a multiplication of meetings, we have all kinds of modern machinery, methods, and can we say it? We even have the money. But instead of an abundance of spiritual life and energy, we are increasingly conscious of weakness. While all around us, the need of men and women is desperate. On every hand, there is a great spiritual ignorance, an increasing moral drift, drug addiction, sex perversion, a great increase in crime, unchecked blasphemy. In literature, on the radio and television. And the great tragedy is that the church seems to be failing. Failing to check these evil trends. And the crowd says, and the world says, they could not. They could not. And we know it to be a public failure. Just as it was for the disciples. And it is a humiliating experience for us. The church of God in a devil-possessed world seems powerless to cast out devils of unbelief, of immorality, of sex perversion, of increasing divorce, of this mounting tide of evil. And the question is why? Why? So we look at the question they asked. And this is brought before us in verse 28. And it is interesting to notice that the disciple asked the question of the Lord privately. When they were alone with him in the house. This indicates something of the shame, of the humiliation the disciples felt, their disappointment. Why? Why could we not cast him out? But what a good thing it is if we can find grace to ask this question to the Lord. How necessary it is when we fail to ask, what has gone wrong? It is important to ask why the church seems so powerless. And it is vital to make that right diagnosis of the present situation. We must find out the cause of our failure. And we do this when we come to the Lord himself in humility and in confession and ask truly from the heart, why could we not cast him out? Let us go to the Lord and ask him and see what he has to say about it. For you see, we look and we see the answer they received. We get this in verse 29. But it is important to link this with something that is particularly emphasized in Matthew 17:20, which says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Can I ask the question? How many mountains have you moved? Individually? As a church and people? I ask myself that question. In verse 29, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. That's what the Lord said. And there were these three reasons for their failure. First, there was a lack of faith. You see, Matthew 17:20 says, because of your unbelief. The disciples had not the faith to believe that the Lord could operate through them and grant his deliverance to this needy case. Frequently, we fail for the same reason. We ask the question, can God? In this respect, I carry a little recitation around in my Bible. I found it in one of the ladies' magazines. But it's from David Obart. And it's entitled, Can He? And if, can He give us bread also, who struck the rock of God, and furnished us with water as we the desert trod? Can He provide meat for us of manna? They were tired. They suffered when He gave them the thing that they had desired. Can God? Sometimes we question, can He do certain things? Can He remove this burden which to us trouble brings? Can He? A sign of doubting. A weakness found in man when faith should be triumphant and recognize He can. But if God should deny us the very thing we sought, it may be for a lesson He sees we must be taught. For He who gives young ravens the most appropriate food would surely give His children the things best for their good. Then let us learn this lesson and say we know God can. When we are faced with problems beyond the skill of man, a father said to Jesus, Canst thou my son relieve? Christ said, That's not the problem, but if you will believe. Then let me trust my Father, take all to Him in prayer, cast on the Lord the burden of all my wants and cares, knowing He will provide me with all for my life's plan, trusting His love and wisdom because I know He can. Remember the scenes of the two blind men who asked for sight from the Lord, and the Lord said, Can you believe that I am able to do this thing? What a question. And they said, Yes, Lord. And He gave them their sight. You see, the question is, not he is he able? Yes, He's able and willing. The Bible tells us from cover to cover, He is able. The question is, are we able to believe that He is able? There's a lack of faith. We doubt the ability of the Lord to put forth His power. In fact, we are filled, yes, I'll say it, we are filled with unbelief. And came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Because of your unbelief. And Matthew 13:58 says, and he did not many mighty works. Why? Because of their unbelief. Oh, how we should pray, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. There, first there was a lack of faith, and then there was a lack of prayer. Mark 9:29 tells us this. And there are certain kinds of situation that require special, urgent and persistent prayer. And if there is a deficiency of prayer, there must be, yes, must be, a deficiency of power. Evidently the disciples had not prayed enough. Consequently, they were powerless. How challenging this is when our own ministry is often powerless and fruitless. It was a lack of faith. It was a lack of prayer. And there was a lack of fasting. Mark 9:29 tells us this. No, it doesn't mean Lent again. Fasting denotes such an intensity of desire and purpose that we are ready to put even legitimate things aside in order that we may seek the face of God, that we may secure his blessing. It may mean denying ourselves secular and secondary things for a time in order that spiritual power may be released. Can you remember the times that we were called for days of prayer on behalf of the nation? You don't hear that now, do you? Yes. We need the power that may release the souls who are in bondage. They may be delivered, set free for the glory of God. There was a lack of fasting. 2 Samuel, you remember the story of David and his son. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted, went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him and raised him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with him. He fasted until that son died, and you know, he said, I can't bring him back. It is God's will. What about Esther? Remember that lovely story of Esther. And in 4:16 she said, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. But we know what happened. What about Jonah? And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. And the Lord heard and answered. And we can go on. There was a lack of fasting. How far are we willing to voluntarily go denying things that ordinarily are in themselves quite lawful, legitimate, in order that the face of God may be sought in earnest and persistent prayer, and that souls may be delivered from terrible bondage. Faith, prayer, fasting will achieve victory even under the desperate conditions with which we are faced today. Yes, for God has promised a grain of mustard seed. But let us conclude this talk on a note of victory. Let us witness the putting forth of the power of God through the gracious ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, they witnessed a miracle. Yes, we had this recorded in Mark 9, verses 25 to 27. If the disciples had been in touch with the Lord by faith, by prayer, by fasting, he would have performed this miracle through them. For it is only his power that is at work in this miracle of grace. And it is his power that is at work anyway. For he does not delegate his power, but he seeks to channel it through men and women. Mark 16. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And they shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And then, oh, don't stop there. Read further. And they went forth and preached everywhere. And it doesn't mean from a pulpit. It means living the life. And the Lord working with them. And confirming the word with signs following. Why? Or why could we not cast him out? Dear friends, the Lord says, we can. And we can know by his grace and mercy the victory and the joy of bringing others into the kingdom of his grace. May it be so, for his dear name's sake. Amen.